Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the great resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. What are the greatest questions that you have to face in life? If you were to write out maybe the top six most challenging questions for you, this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians addresses three of what I consider to be the greatest questions that there are for all human beings. First of all, is there a God? And if there is a God, secondly, how do I stand with that God? And thirdly, what's going to happen to me after I die? St. Paul, so beautifully in this chapter, lays out how important the doctrine and the teaching of the actual physical resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from his grave on that first Easter Sunday, what tremendous implications that has for us in answering those questions. Is there a God? Yes, this very Son of God himself, who proclaimed and prophesied and declared that he would rise again after the third day, did just that to demonstrate his deity. Secondly, if there is this God, then how do I stand? What is my standing before him? Paul reminds us that Christ has now been raised from the dead to free us from our sins that would still be binding on us if he had not risen from the dead. And finally, the point that he addresses, especially here at the end of the chapter, what happens to me after I die? That because of what Christ has done by his resurrection, death can no longer hold those who cling to him by faith. St. Paul uses a very interesting word here when he uses the word sting. It's a Greek word that has to do with sharpening a stick down to a fine point and using it as a weapon. It's the same word that that John uses in the Revelation that was given to him to describe the bite of a scorpion. It's a word that's used to bite to describe the bite of the fangs of a snake, for instance. The sting of death. So when was the first time in your life that you kind of felt that puncture of the sting of death? When was the first time in your life when death got close enough to you that it really kind of affected you differently than anything else? I was in ninth grade when one of my classmates was killed in a car accident. Happened to be dating one of my good friends at the time. That was pretty close. I had gone through the death of grandparents before and heard about other people in my congregation. Most of them had white hair by the time they died, but somebody my age that was right in my classroom to have it happen so close, that just affected me so differently. Because death has this stinging nature to it that Paul is describing, our natural instinct is to pull away from it or push away from it, just like when you see a snake or a scorpion, just like when you see something coming at you that appears to be so dangerous. Our natural impulse in us is to be alive and to protect life and to stay alive and to push it away. And anything that deals with ending life, whether it's our own or someone else's, it just repulses us. They claim in the 14th century when the Black Plague swept through Europe, and roughly some estimate anywhere from 30 to 60% of the population of Europe died from the Black Plague, that there was so much death around that in the cities of Italy, in many of the cities, they had always had the custom of ringing the funeral bell every time somebody died and when that was announced. And the people finally requested that they stop ringing the bells because they weren't getting sleep at night and also because they just couldn't take the constant reminder of death in their ears. Same thing just happened recently. Remember the earthquake that took place in Haiti? CNN sent tons of reporters down there to cover it and so on, and we were saturating the market with listening to and trying to understand what happened there. But one of their editors said later, after about 4 days, their ratings dropped off, and he said, people can only take so much death. It repulses us and causes us to recoil. But St. Paul is addressing this awful subject for us and the sting of death in order to point out to us of what our Lord Jesus has done now by his resurrection. He has come to remove the venom. He has come to remove the sting, the hurt of death. He has come to take it away. And he has done this in a strange way by actually absorbing it, by taking death into himself. He now has defanged it, so to speak, for the rest of us. He has stripped it of its venom and of all of its everlasting power. There's a great Greek word as well that Paul uses when he says that death has been swallowed up in victory. It's a word to consume and eat something entirely, to devour it, to digest it as deeply down as you can, in the sense of getting rid of it. And so because of this, because of the work of our Lord, who went to the cross and then rose victoriously on that Easter Sunday, because he has now taken death into himself and absorbed all of its power and stripped it of its power for us, those of us now who come to him and believe in him and trust in him, that hold on to him by faith, we now can look at death in a completely different way than the world would have to look at it. Back in the early 1800s, there was a slave down in the South. His name was Henry Brown. And Henry Brown had a vicious master over him that made him package things and send them off. And his job on the plantation was to box things up and to send them to other parts of the country, all the merchandise the plantation was producing and so on. Well, one day, Henry Brown, who hated his job, got an idea. And along with one of his fellow slaves, he decided to package himself in a small box with air holes in it and to ship himself to freedom in Boston, where he lived in freedom the rest of his life. That's how death can now be looked at for those who cling to Christ by faith. Even though on the surface death appears to be part of the slavery of sin in this world, because of what our Lord Jesus has done for us, we now can look at our death, at your future coffin, as a passageway to the greatest freedom you will ever know, to the greatest experience that you will ever get to enjoy in the bliss of heaven. There's no reason for us any longer to look at death the way the world does and to be afraid of it. The text before us invites us now to look at our future graves with confidence. Because by faith we hold on to the one who said to us, because I live, you shall live also. The text reminds us, he gives us the victory. His victory over death has consequences for you, and not only for your future, but even for your life right now. What's driving you in life and motivating you in life right now? Years ago, there was a drug lord out in Los Angeles, in the suburbs, who had acquired quite a lot of money by selling drugs. And he told his friends, someday when I die, if I'm ever killed early in life, I want you to throw an elaborate funeral for me. And they did. They had his body pulled in a glass coffin behind a team of horses. There was a special band that they put together to play music, and they had a parade through the streets of his town, and they were interviewing different people, and all of these young people were so excited to see this funeral. But they came to this elderly black woman, and she said, yeah, it's really something, but you know, he's still dead. He's still dead. You know, if you're living for this life, if you're making it your goal to live for what you can get here, that's about the best you're going to get right there. A glass coffin with a band pulling your body down a street. Hey, wouldn't that be awesome? But you know, if you're living for this, that's all you get. You're still dead. Christ has come to give you more than that. Christ has come to turn your death into a doorway to everlasting life. And by faith in him, use that as your guide in life, as your direction in life, as your motivation in life, to live for the life that is to come. Amen. Please rise. This Good Friday, Professor Marzoff's little daughter, Laura, successfully underwent surgery and is now recovering. We'd like to have a prayer for her. Lord God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for providing little Laura with such gifted surgeons and medical help that she now is recovering from this very delicate and difficult surgery. We pray that in the weeks and months ahead, that if it is your will, you would grant her a full and safe recovery, and that you would restore her again to full health, according to your gracious will. In this Easter week, we are reminded of your great love for us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We pray that the wonderful glories of his resurrection would continue to resound in our ears and in our lives. We pray it all in his saving name. Amen.